Poet Sally Thomas, in the August-September issue of First Things, wrote, "It is one thing to talk about the resurrection. It is quite another to see the Easter fire struck in the night, the candle lit, the light of Christ filling the tomb-like darkness of the waiting church. As a Catholic," she goes on, "I live and relive that liturgy every year. Every year it astonishes me, as no amount of evidence-based argument, the case for the resurrection, could ever do. Yes, yes, I want to say to the apologist, I get it. But when the lights come on, and the bells ring, and the music starts, I know it." This is the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. What Sally Thomas describes in her article, an article about children's literature, is experiential knowing, or as we call it here at Wyoming Catholic College, poetic knowing. It's a mode of knowing that is, in fact, the beginning and the end of a liberal arts education. In addition to hosting these podcasts, directing the Wyoming School of Catholic Thought, and several other responsibilities here, I teach Introduction to Poetic Education, also known in college shorthand as Gymnopoetics. The U.S. Department of Education website makes it clear. Our mission, it says, is to promote student achievement and preparation for global competitiveness by fostering educational excellence and ensuring equal access. And if you search through educational policy websites, something I did for a project several years ago, you will find the same emphasis on global competitiveness, global business, workers for the global economy, and such notions everywhere. Education, we're told, is fundamentally about creating good employees in a technological era, just as, when it began years ago, public education was designed to produce good factory workers. Thus, the emphasis is on STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And while there's nothing wrong with that kind of education, it is primarily utilitarian. It tends toward facts and making things work, rather than toward imagination and wonder about the world in which we live and the kind of beings we are as humans. Many would say that liberal arts education is the antidote, but even a liberal arts education can become self-referential. A great books education can be simply about reading and mastering the texts without asking deeper human questions. In The Republic, Plato described an ideal city, and with it the way in which the children of the city would be educated. "What will be the education of our heroes?" he asked, and then went on. "Two divisions, gymnastics for the body and music for the soul. Gymnastics has also two branches, dancing and wrestling. Music includes literature." Later, Plato said children would learn military arts and sciences, and on top of the pyramid, philosophy. But to begin with, gymnastics and music. Gymnastics comes from the Greek word gymnos, the word for naked. Gymnastics, in this context, is the naked, unmediated encounter with the real, including the reality of creation and the reality of our own bodies. And so, in a very real sense, poetic education of our students at Wyoming Catholic doesn't begin with the first class of Introduction to Poetic Education, but rather on their 21-day freshman backpacking trip. In the wilderness, there's nothing but the mountains, the trees, the rivers, the dirt, the group you came with, whatever provisions you carried with you, and you. Before they leave for the backcountry, we make clear to our freshmen that God wrote two books. They will be studying the second book, the Bible, in freshman theology. In the wilderness, we want them to concentrate on studying God's first book, creation. Much the same is true in the study and practice of horsemanship, another required class at Wyoming Catholic, and an exercise in gymnastics. On the gymnastics side of the actual course in poetic education, students begin to think seriously about food and are given an assignment not only regarding the taste and enjoyment of food, but its production as they contribute a dish or two to their family's Thanksgiving dinner. Food is all about our embodiment. It's all about having and caring for the body God's given us. Students also dance, learning the Austrian folk dance, the Landler. It's the one from The Sound of Music, where, as Maria and Captain Von Trapp dance, they realize they're in love. And while they study astronomy and field science, in poetic education, students stargaze. Each student points out an assigned constellation and tells the story of how Gemini or Orion or Draco found itself in the heavens. And together we wonder how, for example, the Greeks and natives in North America managed to see the same arrangement of stars and name them the Big Bear and the Little Bear, Ursa Major and Ursa Minor. Gymnastics includes the cowboy part of our college as well. We are, after all, in Wyoming, the cowboy state, and students, as I say, take a required course in horsemanship. In poetic education, they visit the local Museum of the American West and gather to watch and discuss John Ford's movie, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, a story about the change from the wild, wild West to a much more civilized West. Was it good? Was it bad? What did we gain? What did we lose? If we had time, we could add other activities, including shooting, ranching, hunting, and fishing. Having mentioned film, it is, of course, an art form, and that moves us from the gymnastic side of Plato's dyad to the musical or artistic side. Our students are divided into groups in poetic education, and each group begins one of the classes, presenting music, reciting poetry, or performing a short drama. Students learn to sing the college alma mater, Verus Conditor Montium, in four-part harmony. Well, that's simple for our choir members, but very difficult for some who have never sung in parts before. With gymnastic skill, students crawl into the nearby Sinks Canyon cave, and there, after a bit of exploring and a brief discussion of G.K. Chesterton's The Ethics of Elfland, each student tells a fairy story in the dark. One class session gives them the opportunity to try out watercolor, calligraphy, or icon painting. The goal of the course is to introduce students to the art of living full, well-rounded lives, embodying their liberal arts education in the quotidian, the stuff of everyday life. This kind of poetic knowing is not scientific, as we usually use that word today. Instead, as James S. Taylor, author of Poetic Knowledge, The Recovery of Education, puts it, quote, "The poetic mode of knowledge is a natural, spontaneous way of knowing reality and of experiencing it directly or vicariously, as via the memory and imagination. It is a real mode of knowledge, dramatized in Homer, considered essential by Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, and cited by St. Thomas Aquinas in a commentary on the Sentences, as Poetica Scientia. The poetic is not discursive, it is intuitive knowledge, pre-scientific, spontaneous, sensory, and imaginative. Jacques Maritain said that while this mode is not exactly irrational, it is pre-rational. It operates within us, like an inaudible whisper in conversation with the soul, speaking without words that this or that is so, is true, is good, mysterious, and so on. Simply, Taylor concludes, it is the certitude, without any demonstration or proof, that things are beautiful, terrible, mysterious, important, wonderful, that we love and are loved." Close quote. And it's only once that we have that deep interior conviction that things are beautiful, terrible, mysterious, important, wonderful, that we love and are loved, only then do we begin asking, what does this mean? How is this possible? Why is it so? Who brought this about? What is my place in creation? To put it another way, poetic education is designed to produce the experience of wonder. And the experience of wonder causes us to say, huh, I wonder how, I wonder why. And suddenly a liberal arts education is more than just books and information, but an experience of discovery, of beauty, goodness, truth, and joy. Then and only then can a geometrical proposition from Euclid be described as beautiful, something that happens around here more often than you might expect. One of the best ways to pursue poetic education is mindfulness. Our first class has to do with food, and I tell students that there are about 7 flavors, depending on how you count, and that those flavors can combine with more than 10,000 scents, 10,000 odors. The result is millions of wonderful taste experiences. Why don't we enjoy them more? 2 reasons. First and foremost, I think, we're not paying attention. Rather than savoring every bite of our dinner, we're either in a hurry or in a conversation. And we don't stop to taste because tasting requires that I slow down, eat each bite purposefully, and pay attention. Second, and one of the reasons we're not paying attention, is that we lack adequate language. How do you describe smells and tastes, particularly complex smells and tastes? Well, it's true about food, and it's true about sunsets, music, painting, the experience of hunting, reading poetry, hearing stories, walking out your door and looking around. We lose our concentration and stop paying attention. We don't tarry long enough to see or spend enough time trying to articulate what we're seeing, hearing, and experiencing, or at least muse on the fact that experience is overwhelming and putting it into words is difficult. That is, we don't bask and enjoy the poetic moment. The poet, as our literature at the college says, has access to wisdom greater than he can articulate in concepts. He sees into the heart of things through a gift of inspiration, not by a methodical acquisition of truth that can be logically presented. This is not in any way to denigrate the logical, the mathematical, the scientific. The Romantic movement of the early 19th century was a reaction against Enlightenment rationalism. They claimed that intuitive and emotional knowledge were by far the most important way to understand what it means to be human, moral, and whole. And alas, their legacy is still with us. It has not been helpful. Metaphysical knowledge, scientific knowledge, and rhetorical knowledge are all important and need to be kept in balance with poetic knowledge. But all 4 kinds are necessary, and all 4 are emphasized at Wyoming Catholic. We believe in studying the case for the resurrection of Jesus, and we believe in waiting in anticipation for the light of Christ to fill the dark church and to illuminate our souls with resurrection assurance and joy. And the beauty of this sort of education, this poetic mode of knowing, is that it's open to everyone. Remember those warnings on old TV shows? Do not try this at home. Poetic education is quite the opposite. By all means, try this at home. And while Shakespeare is using these words in a more complex way, they nonetheless have a great deal of truth. This our life finds tongues in trees, books in the running brooks, sermons in stone, and good in everything. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.